Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our pastoral resident, Scotty Miser.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Linus, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So I chose that scene as our scripture reading tonight. It's a sweet scene. It means a lot to me personally. I choke up just about every time. So we're going to come back to Linus. We're going to come back to that guy. I just think part of it, and I think part of the reason that reading has almost become more well-known in modern consciousness than the scripture itself, is just there's something disarming about seeing the sincerity of a child tell the simple story of peace on earth. And like I said, we'll come back to Linus, but the story itself is beautiful because the shepherds here receive what I know I envy, and I think a lot of us envy, a clear, direct message from God. A seemingly undeniable vision, promise, and instruction. And if you're like me, and cynicism comes easy to you, and faith is a little harder, you might tell yourself, if only I received something like this. If only I received a vision from an angel, much less a host of angels, I could cast off all my doubt once and for all. But there's another contrasting story in Luke, where an angel appears and its message actually isn't as welcome. It's the first appearance of an angel in Luke, and it's not Mary. She gets her own week later. It's the story of Zechariah and Gabriel. I think I got a picture of those two. Yeah, there are the shepherds. And then that guy. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to tell Zechariah's story. We're going to take a minute to tell it and contrast it with the story of the shepherds and how these two respond to a message from God and what their responses might mean for us. But if you get nothing else from tonight, take this. In Christ, we can let our guard down. In Christ, we can let our guard down. So let's read the story of Zechariah for just a second. And this is right at the outset. This is right smack at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. They were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he is even born, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. I think the reason that story sticks in my mind is because it wasn't until recent years that I started to interpret at least a little bit of frustration in Gabriel's response, a little bit of indignance, of just, "Zechariah, this is my 10 a.m. Do you know where my 8 a.m. was? It was in the throne room of God. So shut up for a minute." And I think the comic contrast here is that Zechariah went to the house of God to speak to God, and when God's messenger comes, he hesitates. And what's interesting about Zechariah's hesitation is that the angel promises a bunch of ridiculous things, a bunch of sweeping prophetic grandness, but Zechariah doesn't take issue with any of those. He takes issue with the contradiction of his personal limits. Zechariah believes that the prophecies will be fulfilled one day, but he hesitates when the angel says that God's promises are stronger than his constraints. And the miracle still happens, right? John is still born, but the high priest, the mouthpiece of God, is muted. And I think that's important. Zechariah's doubt doesn't stop God's work, but it does limit Zechariah's ability to experience the joy of it. If that feels a little abstract, I don't think we have to necessarily spiritualize it to understand this sort of basic phenomenon. Have you ever gotten caught up, so caught up in the anticipation of a thing that it actually detracted your ability to experience the thing? I remember when Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, speaking for myself, and as the first scene started to play in the theater opening weekend, my first thought was not, "Yes, Star Wars is here." My first thought was, "Oh no, spoilers. I'm going to watch Star Wars and it's going to spoil Star Wars for me." And it took me a minute to realize, like, no, this was the movie. I was actually watching the movie. This was the thing I was waiting for. Zechariah's doubt doesn't stop God's work, but it limits Zechariah's ability to experience the joy of it. He put his guard up, and he assumed his limits were stronger than God's promises. So I want us to reflect for just a minute. Where have you assumed God will not work? What in your life are you convinced that he doesn't see? In Christ, we can let our guard down. In Christ, we can let our guard down. In a complete and total opposite of Zechariah's experience with Gabriel, we have the shepherds. While Zechariah goes into the house of God to speak to God, and when God's messenger speaks, he hesitates, the shepherds clock in to watch sheep on a night shift. And when God's messenger speaks, they immediately check it out. I have the passage from Luke 2:15, but before we go to that, just look at the posture here. Contrast it with the posture we just saw in the art of Zechariah. The one line that the shepherds have in this whole passage comes from Luke 2:15. The next slide. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." That's the one thing we know about the shepherds. We know that once they receive the word, they check it out immediately. And the other thing we know, literally the only other thing we know, is that after this happens, they will not shut up about it. Luke 2:20. When the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I chuckle at the shepherds, but I'm also deeply envious of them and their ability to take God's gift at face value and with unbridled enthusiasm. So to apply that to our own lives, I just want to reflect again. I know a lot of us in here have church baggage and have issues that we have not fully processed in our spiritual lives. But can you think of a moment in your life that you do a credit to God working? Can you think of a time in your life that you believe it was God at work? And then my only follow-up question would be to that. Do your friends know about it? I don't put this on to guilt you. I only say that we as people are never more attractive to others than when we are unironically enthusiastic about something. We are most attractive and most vulnerable when we are unironically enthusiastic. And we're most capable of experiencing Christ when we have nothing to prove. Is in Christ, we can let our guards down. I had a brief story that I was debating sharing or not, but I'm just going to go for it. When I think of the enthusiasm here, I think particularly of a YouTube video from 2007 from a channel called the Vlog Brothers. Does anyone know who the Vlog Brothers are? It does not matter. That's okay. Mm-hmm. For the purposes of the video, one of the brothers vlogging was tasked with the very difficult challenge to eat as many peeps, as many marshmallow peeps as he could in one sitting. And then whatever he could not eat, he had to give away. He had to go out into the streets and give away free marshmallow peeps. What do you think the reaction was to a strange man sitting on the sidewalk giving away marshmallow peeps? People ignored him. People ran away from him. He began singing a parody of John Lennon's Give Peeps a Chance, and no one was paying any attention to this free gift of marshmallow peeps, except for one group of people. And it was a group of wandering punk rockers at 9 a.m. in the morning. And he goes to them, and their immediate response is, "I would love some peeps." And if you watch the video, I couldn't find a picture of it that didn't make me at least a little bit revolted, but if you watch the video, Kurt, the punk rocker who Hank has just met, immediately begins to shove peeps into his mouth, six at a time. He can't get over the sweetness of this free and absurd gift of marshmallow peeps. And Hank's takeaway from that interaction: those were probably the most worthy recipients of peeps I have ever seen. Do I recommend taking marshmallow peeps from strangers on the street? I do not. But in Christ, we can let our guards down to the sweetness of his gift. So what's the good news? The good news is that God's gift is arriving regardless. And God's work is being done regardless. We're not powerful enough to stop it. So we may as well enjoy it while it's here. We may as well open ourselves up to what Christ is doing in our lives. And the reason that we can believe the angel's message of fear not is in the manger. It's that we know that no matter how vulnerable we are, we'll never be more helpless, more dependent than how God himself chose to make himself known. Jesus, in this passage, is the least cinematic thing going on. Jesus has no lines, he has no halo, he has no choir, and yet somehow, he's the point. Somehow this is the point. The angels coming to the shepherds are secondary to a dependent, helpless child. And Gabriel speaking to Zechariah is not the point. He's only there to prepare Zechariah for John. And John is not the point. John is only there to prepare us for Christ. Whatever comes before us, whether it's hardship or whether it's a message from an angel, it should always draw us closer to the person of Jesus. The angel army and heavenly host aren't the point. They're just a lead up to this broke kid on the outskirts of society, born the King of Angels. In Christ, we can let our guards down. I have some quick homework I want you guys to give a try this next week. How is it that we can let our guards down? How is it that we can just be this unbridled spirit of shepherd-like enthusiasm? One, I would say, share a part of yourself that you don't expect everyone to understand. This should be simple because we will all be seeing our extended families very soon. And I'll leave it at that. And ask God for something you don't expect to get. Ask God for something you've written off as impossible. I'm not going to tell you who this should be or what this should be, because boundaries are a good thing. We don't and we shouldn't share everything with everybody. But if you're constantly defining yourself by what you can't do, you don't risk thwarting God's will, but you risk cutting yourself off from his joy. In Christ, we can let our guard down. So what does this mean for me? Believe it or not, this does go a little deeper for me than Star Wars and Marshmallow Peeps. Because I belong to a religion, I belong to a tradition of faith that believes in bodily resurrection and in physical healing. And since I was 16, I've had type 1 diabetes, and that has gone on uninterrupted. Not because people haven't prayed for it to be taken away, they have. But because of my conditions, because of my circumstances, I know that I've put up lots of barriers to protect myself from the vulnerability of hope. But the question I have to ask is not, how is God choosing to work? Because that's not up to me, and it's not in my control. What I have to ask is, where will it take me? Will my conditions take me further into bitterness? Further and further past thicker barriers? Or will I ever be able to let my guard down? I don't have a full answer. Find one partially in Linus. I find a partial answer in Linus because something I didn't notice about this video until very recently was that at the moment that Linus says, "Fear not," he drops his security blanket. He drops the one thing that no character can ever convince him to let go of. And he doesn't leave it on the floor. He picks it back up once he's done speaking. But at least for this moment, he's unencumbered. And maybe I'm reading too much into a cartoon. That is highly possible, but it wouldn't be the first time at all. But I know that after putting this passage on, and after allowing myself to sit with it for a little bit, I tried this exercise, I tried this homework, and I asked God to take it away. Hasn't yet. Still in my midst, not a danger to myself or anyone. Disclaimers are helpful, guys. More toxic things have been said from a pulpit. But for a moment, I was brought at least into the idea of what it might mean to rest in God beyond my afflictions. In Christ, we can let our guard down. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to watch this clip one more time. And then I'll just ask you to take some time to discuss with one another. What's something about this that you like? What's something that made you uncomfortable? What do you want to take away? Lord, whatever comes before us, may it always, always, always drive us closer to you. The signs are not the point. The messenger is not the point. And the miracles are not the point. You and you alone are sufficient. Thank you for who you are and what you do. In your name, amen.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Linus, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.